It is smashing, isn't it, that passage. It's one of my favourites, and it may be one of yours as well. And there's just this really clear encouragement in there, isn't there, to keep going in Christ no matter what, to persevere no matter what the circumstances are, because God has our backs, in modern speech. If God is for us, who can be against us? And that's what I want to talk about this evening, keeping going with Christ no matter what. As Gareth has already said, he's asked me to speak this evening on Remembrance Sunday to bring something of my own experience from being in the Navy and as a military historian to help us to reflect on the significance of this special day in our national calendar through the lens of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Now, I brought the wrong glasses. So there we go. That's on. There we go. It's middle age. Now, I've been visiting the battlefields of the First World War ever since I was taken there on a school trip back in 1993 by my history teacher. Some of you will have heard of him. There he is there, Sir Anthony Seldon. Back then, he was deputy head of St Dunstan's College in Catford, a classy place in southeast London, some of you may know. He was a famous historian and political biographer, and you may well have seen him pop up on Newsnight or on the odd documentary here or there. And those are pictures of the battlefields when I went in quite grainy kind of colour photographs from 1993. I could have shown you other ones, but they were out of focus and they had that sticker on, do you remember, that said, you know, quality control, and it kind of laughed at me for rubbish photography. Anyway, connoisseurs will note on the left, that is on the Somme, those are German trenches at Beaumont-Hamel, and on the right, those are British trenches at Sanctuary Wood in Ypres, which don't look that different, to be fair, today, but they don't let you go in the trenches on the left anymore. So there we go. Now, initially, at the tender age of 14, I was overwhelmed by the tragedy of the First World War, by all the rather overworn cliches that over time, and the more I've learned about the conflict, I've stepped away from. The old line that we were spun at school of the courageous Tommies being lions led by donkeys, condemned to a futile death in no man's land, while the incompetent generals stayed safe in their chateau, is, I can reveal, simply a story, and in many cases could not be further from the truth. Now that's a grenade that I shall just drop for the moment. I shan't be saying any more on that for now, but it might be something interesting that we could get stuck into over coffee after the service if you want. But back then, in those teenage years, when my first battlefield trip had made such a profound effect on me, I wasn't a Christian. It was only in my university days in Manchester that I came to know Jesus as my Saviour and Lord. And still, the Western Front has drawn me back several times a year, as some of you will know. So there I look out and there are veterans of previous campaigns to the battlefields. I see Mr. and Mrs. Evans there, for example. The stories of the men who fought there have impressed and encouraged and saddened me in equal measure ever since. I've asked myself the questions, how could men carry on in such circumstances? And how could those who believed not have had their faith severely shaken, at the very least by what they experienced? It would have been a very smug person who would have dared be so trite as to say to any of those men at home on leave during the war the words of Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. It's well documented that those at home on leave could not bring themselves to tell of the horrors that they had witnessed or the terror that they had experienced under fire. And alongside that, to those who had never been at the front, There was very little understanding of what was really going on and what life was really like for those who were there. Let me tell you a brief story of a young 19-year-old from Northern Ireland, Private William McFadgen, or Billy to his mates. He was in the 14th Battalion of the Royal Irish Rifles. Half an hour before 0 hour at the start of the Battle of the Somme on Saturday, the 1st of July 1916, a tragic accident occurred. While the artillery barrage was at its height as the enemy sought out 36th Division's positions, Billy and some of his colleagues were making preparations for the distribution of hand grenades. As they picked up one of the boxes, it suddenly slipped, and two of the grenades fell out, and the pins fell out as well. Fully knowing the danger of what might happen, and with a potential 4 seconds before they exploded, Billy threw himself down on the two bombs in order to smother the blast. He was, of course, killed, but by his act of self-sacrifice, he saved the lives of his friends. Only one man was injured, losing a leg. As Billy's remains were taken away on a stretcher, his friends saluted their fellow comrade, many shedding tears. Now, we cannot begin to imagine what that was like. And if we had been there, how hard would it have been to tell others about what had happened? Those sights would be etched onto men's minds, leaving untold psychological pain for the rest of their lives. And yet, there were those who kept going in their Christian faith. And this is something which really speaks to me. So secure were they in their faith in Jesus that they were able to meet the unspeakable horrors of combat on the Western Front head on. How could they do that? Well, if you were completely and utterly convinced of the truth of Romans 8, that passage we've just heard now, then there is no place for fear. Please would you look down again at verse 28. This is on page, forgive me. Splendid, choral, love that, excellent. 1135. Please do look down again with me. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. Those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. You see, nothing is outside God's plan. What Paul is saying here is that before the world began, God predestined that every believer would come to know him. He knew that each of them would be called to know him at some point in their lives, whether they grew up from being a babe in arms surrounded by the good news of Jesus, taught it from the cradle by Christian parents perhaps, or that they would be called to know Jesus at some later point in their lives. The point is that nothing is outside God's overall plan. There can be no such things as coincidence. Everything that happens, happens for a reason. And what is that reason? As we see from the passage, that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. What does God want for us? He wants us to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, for us to be more like Jesus every day. And for those God has called, he has justified them. He has made them right with him. He has forgiven every sin because it has been paid for by Jesus' death on the cross. And because we have been justified, Paul says we have been glorified. Now, for those of us listening to this sermon who have been predestined, who have been called, who have been justified, that glorification has not happened yet. It certainly hasn't happened to me yet. But it will happen when we die, when we go to heaven to be with Jesus. But take a look at the language there. If you look at the tense of glorified, it's in the past tense, not the future. Why is that? Because it is as good as done already. That is how sure we can be. And let's face it, God works outside time as we know it. 1,000 ages in his sight are like an evening gone, to quote the hymn we sang at the war memorial this morning. O God, our help in ages past, based on Psalm 90. If God predestined that we would be called and justified, then we can be sure that we will be glorified because the other steps have already been accomplished. A secure faith is built upon those four foundations. We are predestined, we are called, we are justified, we are glorified. Now, young Billy McFadyen was such a man possessing secure faith. He was a faithful member of Newton Breeder Presbyterian Church in South Belfast. He was a young man who, in the space of 4 seconds, knew what he was called to do by lying on those 2 hand grenades to save his friends' lives. And in doing that, we see someone acting like Christ, someone conformed to the likeness of Jesus. Billy died to save his friends' lives, but Jesus Christ died to save the eternal life of anyone who will put their trust in him. Billy was posthumously awarded the Victoria Cross, the highest award for gallantry this country affords. It is not a coincidence that the medal's shape, a cross, points us to the greater act of Jesus' sacrifice. So if we have this security in our faith, what then shall we say in response to this? Paul's words, not mine, in verse 31. There are some smashing rhetorical questions here, which I'm sure we've asked ourselves from time to time. Let's look at them. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Who then is the one who condemns? Answer, no one. Why is this? Because Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. How extraordinary is that? Let me tell you about another young man who is something of a hero of mine. He is one of the 64 lads remembered on the Kingham Hill War Memorial. And some of you may know that I'm a teacher up at Kingham Hill. This lad's name is Walter Edwin Burton, or more simply, as he was known on the hill, Teddy Burton. As with most of the lads at Kingham Hill at the time, he had had a difficult upbringing. Back then, it was more of a home for boys than a school. In fact, it was called Kingham Hill Homes for Boys. The founder, Charles Edward Baring Young, a very rich Christian philanthropist, had bought the Dalesford estate when he stepped down from his seat in Parliament and had built what we now know as Kingham Hill School at the highest point on his estate. He set the place up so that all the boys he admitted would have a safe home, they would be taught the gospel, and they would be taught a trade so they could go out into the world and be useful. These boys were given a second chance in life and would have known a degree of comfort and acceptance on Kingham Hill that they would not otherwise have known. Teddy Burton was such a chap. He came from rural Norfolk, where his father had been a farmer for some years. The father left and went to South Africa just before the turn of the last century in order to carve out a new life for his family in the colonies. But within a year he had died, leaving a widow and five children. The children were looked after by their paternal grandparents, aged 87 and 75. Their mother is described in the words of the founder's journal as, quote, not right in the head. I think it's right to say that she was struggling with her mental health quite badly. The grandparents became so infirm they could not carry on looking after the children, and so Teddy and his older brother John were admitted to Kingham Hill by the founder in 1903. It appears from what the headmaster wrote of him in 1917 that Teddy had made quite the impact and was remembered fondly. It's a little bit small, but I'll read it to you. This is what the headmaster at the time, Mr. Scarfe, wrote. He said, "While on the hill, Teddy's bright smile and willing manner, and above all his earnest endeavour to fight the good fight, made him a general favourite with teachers and scholars. At the time when the war broke out, he was preparing for missionary work, but he still found time to keep the Scripture Union going by organising meetings, etc., and looked after the interests of the Church Missionary Society on the hill. He took a deep interest in his Sunday school class, and by his regular attendance and earnest work, he set a good example to all." Sounds like a smashing lad, doesn't he? Clearly, what we might call today a going-for-it Christian. And after the school leaving age of 14, he stayed on to teach the younger boys in Top School, which is the building where my classroom is today, being that steady, good Christian influence that they needed. He was a member of the Chipping Norton Territorials, many of whom were men from Kingham Hill. And they were commanded by Major Schofield, who was the founder's agent. When war was declared, the unit became the 4th Battalion of the Oxfordshire and Buckinghamshire Light Infantry. And Teddy would have known that at some point he would be needed to fight in France. Now, if we put ourselves in his boots as he marched along quiet back lanes in the Somme region of northern France to do his first tour of duty in the trenches at Ebuterne on the 21st of July 1915, what thoughts might have been going through his head? I think that verse 35 would be up there amongst his thoughts. Have a look. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? This boy had already known trouble and hardship, if we carry on looking at that verse. And they had clearly not separated him from the love of Christ. On the way to his first time in harm's way, he could know that neither danger nor the sword could separate him from the love of Christ either. Teddy stayed in the same sector of the Western Front for the next 12 months during a quiet period in that area, manning frontline trenches on sentry duty, being part of working parties at night, wiring the barbed wire pickets in no man's land, digging more trenches. He would have been rotated out of the trenches every week or so, and like most British men in the army during the war, actually spent 80% of his time out of immediate harm's way. On the day the Battle of the Somme started, while Billy McFadgen was showing the bravery which earned him his Victoria Cross, Teddy and his unit were in reserve and were not called on. However, in the following 5 months of the Somme offensive, Teddy went over the top into battle at least 5 times at Ovier and Pozières, which you can see on the picture there. All of which he did alongside another lad from Kingham Hill. And this chap's name here is Emmanuel Thompson. Emmanuel Thompson was killed as he took part in a nighttime bombing raid up Skyline Trench in August 1916. The blow for Teddy would have been huge. Someone he had grown up with on Kingham Hill, who'd gone to war with, and now wasn't going to be coming back with. How many times during that period would Teddy have been encouraged by the verses 37 to 39 of Romans 8? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I would love to think that he had continued to be that same positive witness that his headmaster had talked of, with his bright smile and willing manner, and above all, his earnest endeavour to fight the good fight, which made him a general favourite with all those around him. What influence could that lad have had among his friends in the trenches? What an amazing presence for Jesus he could have been. Now, between February and June 1917, his battalion war diary for his unit tells of 2 further attacks in which he played a part near Peronne, before they were moved north to the infamous Ypres salient, the shell-cratered, pockmarked quagmire surrounding the last city in Allied hands in Belgium. 8 days into the Third Battle of Ypres, more commonly known as the Battle of Passchendaele, Teddy was killed as his position, knee to waist high in floodwater, was heavily shelled by the Germans. During his time in action, he had often written for the Kingham Hill magazine. His last contribution was a poignant poem entitled God Reigns Above. In the issue where that poem was published, news of his death was reported. The founder said of Teddy that he was, quote, a young fellow of rare promise. God has transferred him to higher service in the regions beyond the grave. Here was a young man whom God had predestined, had called, had justified, and had glorified. Here was a young man who knew that if God was for him, who could be against him? Here was a young man who knew that he was more than a conqueror through God who loved him. And here was a young man who was convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation would be able to separate him from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He went into harm's way, being willing to die, knowing that he would be with his Lord and Saviour. Now, I believe that we can learn a lot from this impressive 21-year-old man. Our lives can be hard. We may not know real trouble or hardship or persecution or danger. We may live comfortable lives now, but who of us can say what the future may bring? If we are trusting in the Lord, we can serve him in confidence because we know that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. We may not face the terror and hardship that Teddy Burton faced, but no matter how dark our days might be, whether through illness, job loss, or indeed anything in all creation, Nothing can separate us from God's love. So this evening, let that inspirational young lad who loved his Lord through all the horrors of the trenches of the Great War encourage us to keep going, knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God. May his story point us back to those tremendously comforting words of a well-loved passage which restores our confidence in the Lord, that he is in control, that he knows what he's doing. God has a plan. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so, let us have complete confidence, as the Lord tells us through Paul, that since we have been predestined, called, and justified, we will be with Jesus forever in glory. Let me pray. Father God, we want to thank you for those who have gone before us and those who still put themselves in harm's way so that we might live the lives we live today. May we be inspired by their dedication to duty. May we be inspired too by young men such as Billy McFadden and Teddy Burton, men who loved you and who knew that nothing could separate them from your love. Let us be bold and courageous, therefore, in all that we face, knowing that we have nothing to fear. For if you are for us, who can be against us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.